Greetings. I'm Fred Zaspel, Books at a Glance. Welcome to another author interview here with us. We're talking again to Dr. Steve Wellham about his systematic theology. We are now in the middle of chapter 11, working our way through. We're dealing with the sufficiency and clarity of Scripture in chapter 11. And last time we covered sufficiency, now today the clarity of Scripture. So first, let's begin again with definitions. Steve, what are we talking about? The clarity of Scripture. What get us on focus here.
Yeah, so I first, as I looked at both sufficiency and clarity, try to lay the biblical grounding to that and then come to some definitions that come out of the biblical teaching. I did pick up the definition. There's no sense in reinventing the wheel and creating new definitions. I mean, I do think our Reformation heritage has so carefully thought through these issues, especially in light of the Roman Catholic debates, because at both of these issues, as we said last time, sufficiency and clarity are viewed by the Reformers as actual attributes of Scripture that the Roman Catholic Church does not hold to. So this is a major distinction in our doctrine of Scripture from the Roman Catholic teaching. So I picked up, I mean, you could either do the Westminster Confession, or I put in here because this is written for a Baptist, you know, this is a Baptist systematic theology. So why should I just keep quoting the Westminster? I might as well quote the Second London Baptist too, even though obviously Second London is greatly dependent upon the Westminster. So there's a lot of, on
sure.
this issue here, there's
sure.
a lot of similarity, right? So the great sort of the confessional heritage speaks of clarity in the sense that clarity is an attribute of Scripture, right? So the text itself is clear. That doesn't mean the readers actually are clear, right? It doesn't mean that we actually understand everything. It's our job to understand it, but that Scripture is clear because it is God's word. But the typical definition of it is wanting to clarify that even though Scripture is clear, it's an attribute of Scripture, because Scripture is God's word, it is not to be meant to be cloudy. It's not meant to lead us astray. It's meant to lead us to the knowledge of God and of salvation and of who Jesus is, so on. That doesn't mean that everything in Scripture is clear, right? So you have particularly Paul's or Peter's statement regarding Paul in 2 Peter chapter 3, that you know, our beloved Paul writes to us Scripture, and that's very important. So he views Paul's writings as the word of God, as Scripture. But he says, you know, unstable people, it's not always clear, unstable people distort what's there. And so there is this sense, and why our confessional statement says that all things in Scripture are not alike plain in themselves, nor alike clear unto all. So clearly it's picking up, they're not clear to everybody. I mean, non-Christians read the Bible and they don't understand it. And we, in our sanctification, need to grow in grace and so on. So it's not always
not
clear.
Not all parts of Scripture are equally clear.
And all equally clear, yet those things that are necessary, right, to be known, believed, observed for salvation are clearly taught, right? And so God wants his word for his people to know him rightly.